Take your Bible, please, and open it with me to the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, chapter 9. If you're watching online and don't have a Bible and would like one, use the messenger service, not the chat box, the messenger service to send me your address and your name, and it'll be kept private, and we'd love to mail you one at no charge tomorrow. Your name will not be put on a mailing list. You won't be asked for money. We just want to give you a Bible. Let's begin reading in verse 1 of Daniel chapter 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made my confession. And then he begins to make his prayer. Daniel is the prime minister of the former Babylonian Chaldean Empire, now under the control of Cyrus and the Greeks. And he's been reading the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament. And God speaks through his word to Daniel and shows him that they're only going to be there a total of 70 years. Remember, he was one of the teenage young Hebrew boys who were brought from Jerusalem, and only he and three others refused to take of the king's food and the king's drink, and they said, let us eat according to the word of God and see if we're, you know, measure up. And of course they were better 10 times than the ones who were doing it man's way, and so they were allowed to do things God's way. Well, as a result, Daniel spends all these years serving the Lord, and now he's an old man. And as a result of reading the Word of God, the Holy Spirit illuminates his mind, and Daniel helps him to understand, and Daniel sets his mind to respond accordingly. And there's a great lesson here. When you read the Word of God and God speaks to you, do what Daniel did. Pray about it. Talk to God about it. Say, okay, Lord, what are you trying to teach me here, and what do you want me to do with it? And then when he lays on your heart some burden, whatever it might be, then take action. In other words, Daniel set his heart and mind on finding God's will for his life and then doing it, even as an old man. Now, if you've got your pen this morning, I want to share with you some scriptural principles for finding God and finding his will. Now, while you're finding a place to take some notes, I did not intend to do this morning. Yesterday afternoon, early evening, I was rereading all the material I had planned for this morning, which is the last half of this chapter, and the Lord just says, no, I want you to do this. So we're going to pivot slightly off of what Daniel is doing here, and we're going to give you some lessons on how to find God, or how to find his will for your life. Another way to say that is how to seek the Lord. All right, so if you've got your pen, we want to give you some points there, and I'll give you some scriptures. I will turn to them and read them, but for the sake of time, we won't have time to wait for you to find them, but you write them down. While you're making a little note there, how to find God, or parentheses, apostrophe S, will, God and God's will. Years ago in Dallas, there was a crime committed by a young man that was just awful. It was just horrendous. And the mother of that teenage boy, he was out on bail, was asleep in bed one night, and after all this happened, and the boy came to her and said, Mom, I need to find God. Can you tell me how to find God? And she didn't know how to tell him. And she went to the next door neighbor and said, my boy is on his face in my room asking how to find God. And she said, do you know how to find God? And the lady said, well, when I was a child, I went to a Methodist church and learned some of that in Sunday school, but I can't remember exactly how to tell you what to say to him. She said, but I, on Sunday mornings every week, I listen to the services of the First Baptist Church in Dallas. Take your boy to the pastor. He'll tell him how to find God. So they showed up and made an appointment and showed up, and he didn't make the connection and said, can I help you? Why are you here? And she said, well, I think you'd know why we're here. And he said, oh, wait a minute, what's your name? And the boy said his name. He said, okay, I understand. And she told him the story. You tell the boy how to find God. He asked the young man, has anyone ever invited you to church or Sunday school? No, no one. Has anybody ever told you about Jesus? No, nobody. Has anybody ever given you a Bible or a piece of gospel literature or even talked about the Lord? No, no one. In all the city of Dallas, hundreds of Baptist churches everywhere. You can look on almost every street corner. There's churches of all kinds. Nobody in that town invited him to church or Sunday school or Bible school or gave him a gospel tract or even gave him a Bible. Not even the Gideons gave him a Bible. He didn't have nothing. And so we are in a nation that knows about God but doesn't know how to find him. And so I'm hoping this morning that this will help you either find God or help you to know how to tell someone how to do that. And I've blown this up so I can read it more easily. Number one, and by the way, before you write number one, the first half of Daniel contains a magnificent, chapter 9, contains a magnificent prayer, and we're going to get into it more in depth next week, but that is the key to finding God. Prayer is the key to finding God, and that we must do it a certain way. Number one, we must seek him with our whole heart. Seek him with your whole heart. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. Seek him with your whole heart says this, thou Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart, with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. We must seek the Lord with our whole heart, not haphazardly and not halfway, you know, just not just flippantly. Vance Havner said, no one really prays until they are desperate. And I think that the Christian in the era in which we live needs to seek God in desperation. We need to do everything we do almost as if we're scared of what might happen in this world next. Folks, this world is going to hell, and it is spiraling rapidly into the pit. And we must understand that it is too late to be cautious. If you have a neighbor or a friend or a family member or a classmate that you obviously know doesn't know Jesus, talk to them now. Don't wait. Don't wait, because this may be their last opportunity to hear the gospel. You know, we're so divided these days. Our time is chopped up, and my dad, when we were growing up, would see the old folks sitting on the porch at the end of the day after supper in the rocking chairs and say, when do they have time to do that? Well, they have the same 24 hours a day that we do. It's just how you slice it. And most of us have allowed the world and things in life to just take up our time. There's a lot of things that are time wasters. Much of what goes on the internet is a waste of time. These computer games, and that now they're on your phone, are time thieves. If you get email and you get 100 emails a day, and you spend, you know, 1 minute looking at each of those emails, you've wasted over an hour and a half every day. And I wonder if we read our Bibles that much. Someone did a calculation years ago before the internet and said Americans spend, and they had figured it all out, X number of hours watching commercials on television every week. We're so divided. Our lives are so chopped up. Small wonder that we get precious little done. We have to give God our undivided attention. Number two, Psalm 27, verse 8. Seek his face. Seek his face. Psalm 27, verse 8 says the following. When thou said, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. In other words, God wants us to draw close to him. And if we will do that, he will draw close to us. Have you learned that? It's so important that we seek his face. We need to seek him for who and what he is, not for what he can do for us. It's so easy to just plod through life day by day, hour by hour, and only call on God when we have a so-called need. Well, he's not our errand boy. We need to seek him so that we may be close to him at all times. Years ago, talking about First Baptist Dallas, in the 1890 sanctuary that they had, the one that burned about a year or two ago, the children's choir, our kids were in the children's choir as when they were old enough. And our daughter and our middle boy were in the little kids' choir. And they were all about this high. And they had little white choir robes on with a red, you know. And the platform at that church, the men sat here, pastor sat here, other men, choir director sat here, other men, and then the choir behind, orchestra down here, and on the platform was about 150, 200 little kids, and they're going to sing Christmas song. And our middle boy, Nathaniel, is with the Lord now. He was that the room, 90,000 square foot room, seats 2,500 people, and you know, you're surrounded by 225 choir members, all, and he was just scared to death. Well, the pastor sat right here, and there's a little doorway right here to the choir loft. And so instead of sitting in, you know, they're standing in a row in front, he's standing right there as close as he could get where he felt safe. And pastor didn't notice it at first, and I've got a picture of him. Look, what's this kid doing here? But that's how we ought to be with the Lord. Do whatever we can do to get as close as we can to him where it's safe. Seek his face. Number three, seek him with a broken spirit. Psalm 51, verse 17. Seek him with a broken spirit. You know, well, let's read it. Psalm 51, 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. If we're to find the Lord, we will not do so without a broken spirit. You know, we're not to strut into God's presence. I've met so many people that want God and others to be as impressed with them as they are. And we've got no business even approaching God, humanly speaking. But in the person of Jesus Christ, we can. And we need to seek him with a broken heart. You cannot come in with pride or a demanding attitude. Number four, seek him with praise. Psalm 68, verse 4, seek him with praise. In the Old Testament, it also says elsewhere that the Lord inhabits the praises of Israel. And you'll hear a lot of modern preachers and music people say, the Bible says the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. No, he inhabits the praises of Israel. But if you're a Christian in the church age, he inhabits us. And as a result, we praise him. In other words, when they praised him, God inhabited them. He filled them up as a result of their praise. We are inhabited by the Holy Spirit, and as a result, we praise him. You see how it flips? Listen to this verse, Psalm 68, verse 4. Sing unto God, sing praises unto his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jehovah, and rejoice before him. The thing the Christian ought to do is sing. Make a joyful sound. Why? Because life in Christ, we found it. The wages of sin and death have been paid in full. So we should sing, sing, sing. Don't sit there and just hum or sing out of the back of your head. We ought to sing. God's people ought to sing. Religion goes about seeking God in the wrong way, through self-depreciation and self-denial and penance and trying to get, try to get God's attention. But the Bible says the way we really get God's attention is by praising him. In the midst of all the trouble, we praise him that he's there. When we sing, we praise. When we're driving the car, mowing the lawn, going to school, just praising God. Now, I'm not talking about what the world calls praise. The world doesn't have any idea what real biblical praising of God is. Most churches have no idea. In the article in the inside of your reminder this week, there is an incredibly well-written article about this very topic. And the writer says this: modern Christianity has traded reverence for relevance and the Holy Ghost and the fear of God for the pursuit of experience. Modern Christianity says to people, go to church for what God can do for you. I like what our President Kennedy said when I was a boy. Don't ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. And I think that applies in the Lord's church. Don't ask what God can do for you. Ask the Lord, Lord, what can I do for you? Not what he can do for us. Seek him with praise. He wants our praise. Number five. Now I'm going to say this, and some of you are going to retaliate. But hear me out before you do. Seek him properly dressed. I'm going to give you three verses. Matthew 22, verses 1 to 13. References, Romans chapter 4, and I'm going to read you Romans 13, verse 14, and then I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. Seek him properly dressed. Romans 13, verse 14. But ye put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Our society is plunging downward rapidly. And that is evidenced, folks, by the way our people attire themselves, the way they dress. In the Bible, whenever you find God's people getting away from him, their dress becomes affected. For example, Moses went up on Mount Sinai to meet with God. He came back down to find that Aaron had taken all of their gold, made it into a golden calf, and they'd taken all their clothes off. When it says they rose up to play, I don't even in a mixed crowd want to talk about what that means. They took their clothes off. Winter is coming. Not any sooner than I wish you'd get here. They've got 100 degree weather every day this week. I'm ready for the cooler weather. But there are people in Oklahoma at the moment in the spring, when it hits 60 degrees, they're taking their clothes off. And in the spring, or excuse me, the fall, when it hits 60 degrees, they're putting on snowsuits. Have you seen that? I mean, as soon as they because we live in a post-Christian culture, and people just are they're taking their clothes off. It's just awful. But what's more important is our spiritual clothing, which all the rest, all that takes care of itself. You know, you can have the right kind of everything else and be wrong with not right with God in your heart. When people get away from God, everything else gets negatively affected. But no one ever finds God who's not properly dressed, not so much physically, but spiritually. We're supposed to be robed in a robe of righteousness. And the person who is filled with the Holy Spirit will not do anything to soil their righteous robe. In other words, I can choose not to sin in thought, word, or deed, rather than just, well, I'm a free moral agent, I can do what I want, and ask God to ask, forgive me later. The Bible says that we are constructing the wedding garment that we will wear at the marriage supper of the Lamb, which we're going to talk about tonight. Well, we have talked about on Sunday nights. Talk about it again briefly tonight. And we're going to be wearing the spiritual robe that we constructed by how we lived our life in this life. So we need to concentrate on Him so that we will not have dirty clothes. In other words, our spiritual garment must not be soiled by the world, the flesh, or the devil, or we will be unable to really find God. God cannot look upon that which is evil. Number six, I knew that would bring a chorus of amens. Number six, we must seek Him filled with His Spirit. John chapter 14, verses 17 and 26. Seek Him filled with His Spirit. John 14, 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth in you, and shall be in you. And then verse number 26. The Comforter, capital C, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. We will not find God until we walk with God. And we will not walk with God until we're experiencing the fullness of the Holy Spirit, because He gives us insight into God's Word. Now, how do you do that? You confess all known sin, agree with God that it's wrong, that's called repentance, take His side against it, ask Him to wash you and cleanse you, and yield to Him and ask Him to fill you. And He will. Will you feel something? Maybe. Will that cause you to, have a certain experience? Maybe not. But God promises if we confess and repent and ask to be cleansed, He will fill us and set us upright and use us again. Number seven, this is the last one. Seek Him at the right time and in the right place. Seek Him at the right time and in the right place. The first verse passage I have for you on that is Proverbs 8, verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Over in Ecclesiastes 12, 1, it says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You know, when I was young, I would read that and not understand that. I now understand what he means by the when you're young, you don't have the evil days. What does that also mean? That the old when you're old, every day just seems like it's a struggle. I used to, as a kid, watch these old people, a fellow trying to get up or sit down and go, making sounds when they stood up or they sat down. Oh, or just, That's fun. I can jump up and do whatever I want. Not anymore. If I'm going to have to get down on the floor, I plan things I've got to do while I'm down there, because I don't want to be up and down, up and down, up and down, because I can't do that like I used to. Gravity is now 10 times stronger than it was when I was 5 years old. You may not know that, but it is. And so he says, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, not the year, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Some days it just hurts to get out of bed. I asked my father-in-law, who will be 97 in December, when he turned about, I think he turned 90, I said, just think, in 10 more years you'll be 100. And he said, I don't want to live to be 100. Why not? He says, you'll find out. Now that was when they still lived at home. He was still on the tractor, you know, and he was doing everything he usually mostly wanted to do. He said, but you get to where it's just everything hurts. Seek the Lord while you're young, and then build on that the older that you get. But when it says seek him early, it doesn't just mean when you're young. It also, I think, means early in the day. Seek him at the right times. Start your day with the Lord, reading his word. If you can't read it or you don't have time, listen to it on your way to work, on your phone. You can plug that into your iPad. You can go to the church website and you can dial up the Bible and you can listen to it on your phone, or you can Bluetooth it into your stereo. Most people can do that now. Listen to it. Read it. Start your day with it. And then, if you can, find a special place just where you and God get alone together before you start your day. A place that's free from distractions and interruptions. Well, what kind of an interruption? Cell phones. The regular telephone. Television. Computers. Just noise. There's so much noise going on. And if you can't find a place where there's no noise, go to the bathroom and shut the door. A friend of mine was a pastor. I had a friend of his who was a pastor up in Missouri, and he was preaching a revival for him. And at 9 o'clock that night, they'd finished supper. He stayed in their home. The pastor said, I got to go to bed. 9 o'clock, got to go to bed. He said, I have an appointment with my Lord at 4:30 tomorrow, and I don't want to miss it. And the guy was up at 4:30 the next morning and prayed and read till 6. Now, you may not be able to do that much, but you can get one of those little devotional guides and read the Bible and pray, and it take you 5 minutes. And do it every day. But find a place where nobody's going to bother you. And then shut the door. Shut the door. Shut everything out. Put the phone in another room, and just set that side up, that time and that place just for him. And don't forget, he can be found anywhere. When you're on the tractor, or when you're mowing the lawn, or when you're driving, or when you're riding the school bus. But there's something about having a designated place where I stop what I'm doing and I go to that place and I read his word and I listen to him and I talk with him that can't be duplicated any other way. I have told you about what happened in Springdale when we were there. Where the pastor, and if you weren't here, I'm going to repeat it. If you've heard it before, just indulge me. The pastor went before the church staff in that town that was about 20,000 people, about the size of Sepulpa. We're running about 700 or so and 800 in Sunday school. He'd gotten there in 1970. They were running about 150. And by now, they were running about 700, 800 in Sunday school a few years later. And the Lord laid on the pastor's heart that we should have a special Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after Easter Sunday. And the staff said, sounds good. What are we going to do? Well, the Lord's laid it on my heart that we should have 3,000 people on the premises on Pentecost Sunday. How many? 3,000. Okay. That's, you know, that's four times plus what we're running now. How are we going to do that? How are we going to advertise that? We're not going to. No billboards? No. No radio? No. No television? No. Well, what guest preacher are we going to bring in? Angel Martinez was living in Fort Smith at that time. Get Angel to come up, very famous preacher at that time. Or Sam Cathy, or one of these great famous preachers to draw the crowd? No, I'll preach. Well, what special music are we going to have John McKay come up from Texas, or we're going to bring this group or that group? No, our choir and our musicians will sing, and we'll have it'll be a regular church service like we have every week. Well, no billboards, no flyers, no advertising. Pastor, how are we going to get people to even know to show up? We're going to pray. What? We're going to pray. We're going to set the old pastor's office in the old building. We're going to lock it from the rest of the building and give everybody a key to the outside door. And we're going to put a phone in there, you know, and that people can call in prayer requests. We're going to have a book for people can write names that need to be saved, another for folks that need healing, another for folks that have needs. We're going to have a Bible there and a songbook and some devotional guides. And we're going to get 168 people to commit, because it takes that many each week, to commit to 1 hour a week in that room for 50 days. Okay. He's losing it. You know, he's heading towards 60. He's about to lose it. We'll try. Well, we signed up. We got 168 people. And their building was, you know, was secure, and their room was locked, and 24 hours a day, a different person every hour. If you couldn't be there, you made arrangements for somebody, like something happened, to be there in your place, not just, I can't be there. We went from Springdale, we went to Fayetteville, Joplin, Tulsa, Fort Smith, to try to find 3,000 Samsonite folding chairs to put on the parking lot. And we got them all, you know, got the platform set up. I think we used a flatbed trailer for that. And don't remember, and had the choir up on risers and put a piano out there and all that stuff. And all the chairs, you know, in the fan shape like you'd see in an auditorium. And it rained like crazy the night before. And you know what happens when rain lands on a Samsonite folding chair? Puddle. At 6 o'clock in the morning, all of our men were out there dumping water and wiping chairs. And when we got done, there were 3,670 something people there. And here's the kicker. Nobody who was involved in that prayer room wanted to stop doing it after 50 days. Not only had it transformed the life of the church, it had transformed their individual lives, their family lives, and the lives of all those around them. We don't want to quit. I was involved with it for 10 years. Then the new pastor came, and since it was not invented by him, he shut that down. Simple Greek word for that, moron. We'd built a chapel in the new location just for people to come and pray 1 hour a week, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It is now filled with boxes and junk and used for nothing. Small wonder that that church became the church of the revolving door instead of the church of the open door. God will do nothing Andrew Murray said, except in response to prayer. So we have to seek him with our whole heart. Seek his face, not just, you know, a cursory thing. Seek his face. Seek him with a broken spirit. Seek him with praise. Seek him properly dressed spiritually, which will result in affecting the way we live. Seek him filled with his spirit, and seek him at the right time and the right place. In other words, practice the presence of Christ at all times. And if we can't find him there, we won't find him anywhere. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let me ask you, first, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you placed your faith and trust in him to save you? You can't seek the face of God if you have not met Christ personally. In a moment, we're going to pray and sing an invitation hymn of appeal and invite you to come and receive Christ as Savior. If you're watching online and you would like to know more about this, send me a message through the messenger system and I'll get with you after the service is over. But here in this room, if you don't know Jesus as Savior, won't you come as we pray and as we sing? Maybe you are saved and the Lord is laying on your heart to unite with our church. You come. Maybe you need to come and kneel and pray on your own for yourself or for someone else, or ask for prayer for yourself or someone else. Whatever God would have you do, won't you do it as we pray and as we sing? Father, I thank you so much for your love and your mercy and your grace. I thank you that you ask us, you compel us, you beg us to draw closer to you. As we've looked at this simple set of steps this morning, Father, I pray that you'll take this and speak to someone and help them to do that, to draw closer to you, that you might draw closer to them. Help us all to do that. And then, Lord, help us to then take the message of the gospel to the lost around us. Is my prayer in Christ's name. Amen.